To Ryan's surprise, they found that the Countess was already seated at the head of the table with half of a honeydew melon and a side dish of raspberries with clotted cream. She smiled at them.
Awful storm last night. Done some damage to the roof and smashed a window in the east wing on the first floor.
She gestured for them to help themselves from the row of silver chafing dishes on a long sideboard. They served themselves from the usual array of eggs and meat and fish and fruit, then sat down.
Hope it didn't disturb you too much, the storm. How is the dear old doc?
On the highway back to health. Could be up and moving in a couple of days if there's no infection.
So you'll be leaving us then?
I think so. It's been good staying here, and we appreciate your hospitality. Thanks from all of us, Countess.
We don't see many outlanders here who carry their own sense of power, Ryan. We have travelers and mercenaries and third-rate traders, failures and losers, mostly wanting free food and beds for a while. I turn them away. My only interest is in winners. Losers just get caught on the wrong side of the line. I don't know them. Don't want to know them.
Straub shuffled in his seat, smiling nervously at Ryan and the others, trying to hide a small shrug of apology, but terrified of showing it to his mistress.
What are your plans for today, Ryan?
Thought I'd take a walk and look out over the gorge later. All this rain should have made the big river kind of spectacular.
Sounds like a good plan. Perhaps I'll come with you.
Sure.
I'll stay and keep an eye on Doc. You going to go out wet walking, John?
Rain doesn't have much appeal for me, thanks. Take a rain check, I guess.
Nice one. How about you, lover?
Christy looked across the dining room at the gray morning and the steady trickle of water across the windows from a blocked gutter.
You go, Ryan. I can find something to do around the house. I wouldn't mind some time in that library.
When they filed out, Ryan saw the Countess standing by the front door, idly running her fingers across the pattern of a beautiful inlaid table, veneered with a dozen different colors of marble. She beckoned to him. He gestured to the others to go along.
Be with you in a minute. Then I'll get myself ready to go out into the grounds.
Okay, lover.
Straub was suddenly at Ryan's shoulder, almost shepherding him toward the woman.
Before we go for our walk, Ryan, how about a small drink in my room to warm us? I have an excellent liqueur brewed from peaches and cherries. Just the stuff to keep away the cold and wet.
Why not?
The Countess turned to face Ryan, smiling. The mask back in place again.
A last question, and I promise I will not ask you again. I have never met a man who I more wanted to father a child for me. It is a small matter, a few minutes that may even prove enjoyable for both of us. Please, Ryan.
She reached out with a studied impulsiveness and gripped his hand tightly. She stared into his face.
I beg you.
It's not the way I live my life, Countess. I'm real honored. But you have to look elsewhere. I can't believe you wouldn't find a long line of men ready and willing, and probably able. I'm sorry.
She nodded and let go of his hand, keeping her smile pasted firmly in place.
I understand. Just remember this moment, Ryan, and the price it may cost. Talk comes very cheap, but the price of action can be colossal.
She turned away without any further explanation, walking quickly along the hall until she vanished into the pool of shadows that melted at the bottom of the wide main staircase, leaving Ryan alone with Straub.
Now we will have that drink.
The rain was still falling, sheeting gray and desolate across the trees and leaf-strewn lawns outside the window of Straub's room. It was a large chamber with an ensuite bathroom. The walls were draped with black velvet, sprinkled with silver and gold stars and moons. A number of small round tables, inset with chalcedony and onyx, were set around the room, bearing crystal globes and odd-angled prisms. There was a sofa, upholstered in deepest purple, and a single bed, narrow and uncomfortable.
Sit down. I'll get a couple of glasses for a sip of my sable nectar. Then we can brave the elements. It will be a fine sight.
The one thing that Ryan coped with badly was boredom. He needed to be up and moving, and Doc's sudden illness had meant that they were hanging around the ville for longer than Ryan wanted. He knew that without action, his combat reflexes became blurred, and his concentration wandered. But a walk in the bracing rain would make him feel better, and a small drink with a bastard Straub couldn't do much harm.
to wishes fulfilled and enemies confounded.
The jet-black liqueur tasted oddly sweet and bitter, but there was the delicious flavor of tart cherries and summer-ripe peaches.
Good, is it not, Ryan?
Excellent.
It had a warming glow as it slipped down.
Another?
Straub reached out to pour a second measure, smiling at Ryan as he did so. A number of long purple sticks of incense filled the room with a heavy scent of lime and ginger. It seemed to be darker, and the bald man switched on a very bright overhead light that focused down onto the table where he and Ryan were sitting. Ryan closed his eye for a moment, blinking at the dazzle, aware that he was feeling more tired than he'd thought.
You all right, Ryan? You look sleepy.
Fine. Fire blast, but my head is...
Open your eye, Ryan.
Ryan felt the short hairs at his nape beginning to prickle with unease. His mind was muddled, like at the beginning of a jump. Unconsciously, his hand began to reach for the butt of the Sig Sauer, but it was missing. The holster empty.
Open your eye, you fucking shit.
Startled, Ryan did as Straub commanded, finding himself staring directly into the spinning silver disc that the bald man held in his right hand. It gripped Ryan's attention, though he made an effort to look away, but it felt as if his brain were gripped in a vise, sucking him under.
So fucking easy, you triple stoop arrogant bastard. It's cost you everything. Your friends are all prisoner now or already dead. After you've obliged the Countess, then you will join them. It's over, Ryan. Over.
All that Ryan knew was the reality that Straub had showed him. His mind was bound in limitless shrouds of sweltering midnight linen, closing off all his perceptions.
Stiff-backed pride, Carter. Your downfall, as it was with that withered old fool called the Traitor. He thought he was immortal until he faced death on that beach.
Dead?
You can go to your grave without ever being sure of that, you one-eyed scum-sucking imbecile. But it might be you'll be meeting him again very soon, after you've performed your duty for my lady. But I only say maybe. Why give you an inch of knowledge when you can more easily die ignorant?
Straub took Ryan by the wrist and led him unprotestingly through the shadowy passages of the huge mansion. It was oddly deserted, with no Sekhmen at doors and cross corridors. There was no sign of any servants, nor of his friends. Ryan's feet seemed to float over the thick carpets, and his eye gazed incuriously around him.
It was so easy. They chose to separate and go to different places. There was no need to be cunning, simply to find them and slay them. Let me show you all your friends, Outlander. All of your dead friends.
The combination of the powerful drug and the drink, and the skill of Straub's mesmerism, had robbed Ryan of all sense and reduced him to a feeble puppet.
First, let us see your red-headed slut, Ryan. In the library, I think she said. Smell the death, Ryan. Smell the spilled blood of your lover. See the way her hair melts into the flow of crimson from the slit throat, lying there on the floor with old books scattered around her corpse. See it.
Ryan saw it, exactly as Straub described it. Christy was on her back, her hands spread, her fingers clenched, her fiery hair floating out around her shoulders, free and loose, the ends sodden in the lake of dull blood that still trickled from a deep gash that opened up the whiteness of bone in her throat. Ryan blinked, stricken, feeling a vague surprise that her sentient hair hadn't coiled up defensively at the last. That was odd, but it was such a tiny, insignificant detail.
If you want to weep, then do it.
No. After I've chilled you in the pitch. Then. Then.
The albino is in the next room. See the albino limp over the floor. Smell the death. It moves through the hallways connected to each of your friends. See the albino shot once through the back of the head, matting the fine silken white hair with clots of pink-gray brain and splinters of bone. In his last ghastly shock of dying, he'd managed to draw one of the throwing knives, holding it unthrown in his hand. Too late.
Ryan blinked hard at Jack's body. It, too, appeared exactly as Straub described it.
Come, let us see the doctor and her lover. They had returned to their bedroom to be close to the old man. Sectmen went in mob-handed on this one, weren't taking any chances, six of them, and it looks like they emptied their Rugers into the bodies. Kind of messy. Sure you want to see them?
The bodies were almost unrecognizable, and the room was filled with the biting fumes of the gunfire. It was just as Straub had said it would be. Mildred lay across the corpse of JB, one arm blown off at the shoulder. Most of the ragged wounds in her chest and stomach. JB stared at the ceiling, blank-eyed, one lens of his glasses smashed like a star. Neither of them had had any chance of reaching their weapons.
See, just as I told you, they were such easy meat, and all because of your stubborn pride. Want to see the old man?
Yeah.
Ryan barely hung on to the shreds of sanity as he realized he had been completely defeated. All of his friends were dead, and his own death was not far away. It was oddly dreamlike, and Ryan had no sense of walking from place to place.
Looks peaceful, doesn't he? Weak as a kitten, the lousy old prick.
Why did you have to chill them all? Just take me.
Not good enough for my lady. You spit in her face, and she couldn't just walk away from that.
Doc was on his back, his eyes closed. The only signs of his violent passing were his hands, clenched in front of his face, as if he were trying to ward off a blow.
How?
Pillow. Didn't struggle too much.
Time stretched on and had no meaning. Ryan was back again in Straub's room, lying on the sofa, one hand absently rubbing at the wound in his thigh. He was vaguely aware of its prickling heat and how tender the flesh felt. Straub was leaning over a large crystal, polishing it with a strip of aquamarine satin. Straub's gleaming skull-like face was grotesquely distorted in the reflection of the globe.
Feed her cream. Maybe allow her the child. Take him under my wing. Use my powers to close the lady down. Careful and slow and gentle. Think of the enemies, all dismayed, creeping in the corridors, frightened of my shade.
Ryan heard the words and recognized that they had to make some sort of sense, but he failed to understand them. Only snatches penetrated into his drugged, paralyzed mind as he drifted still further into blackness.
Or pluck the flower from the nettle now. Let the plan run. Let the deaths come at her hands. Finish them all, and finish the one-eyed rat king himself. You're such a fine, brave fellow, Straub, aren't you? You have two plans, and both are brilliant. Finest ever. Each one a glittering, flawless gem with its own beautiful facets to cut and polish. You're the best, Straub. The very, very best.
Yeah.